Welcome to the show, Waking Lions,
where you'll meet the most iconic professionals of the mindfulness arena.
And my name is MJ, and today I am joined by Sally O'Connor, who is a hypnotist. At any rate, let's turn the time over to Sally and kind of what your knowledge about it is.
Sure. Okay. Well, thank you, MJ. It's wonderful to be here today. A little bit about me. My name's actually Zelda O'Connor. I've been called Sally since I was born for my family and friends and all growing up. But I called my business Zelda Hypnosis because I feel like I'm finally coming into myself. Of course, you know, everyone knows me as Sally, and Zelda Hypnosis is all about discovering your true essence. And that's after resolving any pains, any hurts, any blockages that either people have placed on us or we've placed on ourselves or environments or situations. And a lot of times it's these bumps and bruises that hold us back from becoming more and expanding and really growing into who we want to be. So I like to use hypnosis to help alleviate and open up those blockages, to help resolve those inner conflicts and pains, and the God within that can then come out and be a blessing to others.
Right, and that's totally understandable. And I believe that even though all of us have different religious backgrounds, you know, a lot of Christianity, Judaism, a lot of spiritual people too, that just look up to a higher power per se. But whatever the belief system is, I think that almost everybody has some sort of a higher power that they entrust in. And I believe also that we all have imperfections of some sort. And it's the ones that really need help that feel like they just need that extra little push to get them in the right direction.
Sometimes it's really just knocking down the walls that are blocking. We'll place on ourselves if we're hurt in some way. For example, perhaps maybe we're on a date and it turns out horribly disastrous, then our incredible unconscious mind takes records of past events because its sole intended purpose is to keep us alive. There was someone that had said once, if we were responsible for our own breathing, we'd all be dead. So the unconscious mind, it wants to keep us alive. And when there's a negative experience, particularly when we've made an emotional attachment to that negative experience, it's like it makes an imprint.
Now, what do you mean by imprint?
We can actually not just recall the experience. When we recall the experience, we can feel it. And people of trauma in particular will relate to this. I went through some physical and sexual abuse as a teenager, and I wasn't always able to even talk about that without breaking down. Feelings would come back, and that's my subconscious mind saying, oh, remember, here it is. This is, you can recount it and relive it through words. And I will also, here's the feeling that's associated with that as well. And when people are recounting negative experiences, it could even be maybe a fender bender where, you know, 2-3 weeks later, they're telling you about this fender bender and they're getting all angry and riled up about it. And it's made an imprint because there's an emotional feeling attached to the negative memory. They've imprinted on your unconscious mind. You can say, I don't care about that. I'm not worried about that anymore. It doesn't bother me. Mm-hmm. But the next time you go to the mall, if you happen to have a close call, that's all going to come back.
Why do you think that our brains behave this way?
It goes right back to the unconscious mind's need for survival. If you look back at early man who was hunting for food, there could be a dangerous animal. Maybe they were bit or attacked. Their mind would know, hey, this is dangerous. Leave right away.
Because so like we protection. Know.
Exactly. It's all about protection and survival. But what happens in modern day, we have these experiences that also leave these imprints on our unconscious mind. They leave a negative emotional feeling with something in our life, trying to recall being a child, and if something traumatic happened, then we might break down and cry and be fearful, or we might be afraid to trust people again. The power that the mind and these memories can have, just keeping us, holding us hostage. But the beautiful thing about hypnosis is that we can detach the emotion from the experience. The intent isn't to wipe it away. And I don't think that's the right thing to do anyways, because we are, in essence, a makeup of everything we've ever experienced.
That would be like amnesia, right?
Right. And it's how I'm able to discuss these things in my past and without reliving them again and again, because I was finally able, through hypnosis primarily, and also through prayer, I was able to detach and resolve the emotion. And you might think, you know, how do you grow from something so horrible as childhood sexual abuse? Like I really had a difficult time in my young life, but it's through these experiences that I learned about healing. I learned about resilience and persistence, about pushing through, about self-respect and self-esteem. I went on a journey when I was about 18, asking myself how to be happy. There was a girl in my class who was always so happy. I thought she was a fake. I really didn't think anyone could be that happy. That wasn't my reality. And as I got to know her, I had this love-hate relationship with her, because I hated her for being so happy, for being so confident, for being so, just being herself, and me being so scared and fearful, and from having gone through a lot of abuse and trauma, I was wanting that happiness. If it's real, I want that. That's what I want. But I didn't know what that looked like or how to get that. And I actually started reading books on how to be happy.
That's awesome that you went out and sought the knowledge. You know, and I was going to say too, with the amnesia, a lot of people I think would be like, oh, I would rather have amnesia than remember all of those horrible things. But the thing is if you had amnesia, you might very well repeat the situations that put you in that, where you were vulnerable.
That's a really good point.
And it's awesome that you were eventually able to separate yourself from that, and that you sought out the knowledge. So what happened when you do this research that you did?
Well, it started when I was 18. I finished high school living in a basement apartment, and then started working right away as I went to night school. And I wanted to be a social worker. A neighbor of mine was fostering, brother and sister. They were 3 and 5 years old, but she worked full time. So she asked me if I could babysit for her during the days. And my intention was kind of twofold. I was hoping to uncover this stuff and heal myself. But at the same time, knowing all the pain I was going through made me aware that there was other people suffering this way too. And if I could find a way to overcome it somehow, then maybe I could be a conduit to bring them some healing as well. It was for myself, but it was also to help other people. And I had an interview for position in the college, and they only take in a couple hundred students out of a few thousand. They were asking me questions about these two children that I was taking care of, the two foster children. And the 3-year-old little boy was still in diapers.
Oh,
and
wow.
He'd been sexually molested. The little girl was 5, and the same with her.
So for them to be at that point means that they went through some very, like, extraordinarily traumatic events.
Well, and they were removed from the home because of the visible marks on them. There was evenings that Loretta would call me and ask me to come over and help put them to sleep, because they were calling and screaming for me. So when I went in for the interview with the college, they were asking me about my experience with these two children. And I was told that, I think you're a little too sensitive for this field. I think you're gonna crack within a few years. I don't think social work is the right field for you. And so I studied communications because I have always had a passion for writing.
And that's quite emotional as well, right? Able to be in touch with your feelings and express them freely without someone telling you you're too emotional.
It is, absolutely. I mean, yeah, creative writing is all about using your imagination. You know, unfortunately that got squashed, and here I am about to working in hypnosis and about to embark on becoming a certified addictions counselor.
That's incredible, because then you're still doing the social work avenue.
Yes.
So that would be awesome. How long have you actually been doing hypnosis?
I started doing self-hypnosis and guided meditations about 10 years ago.
Okay.
And then 2016, I took a coaching program through the University of British Columbia. I'm in Canada. It was with the professor of the metaphysics department. So there was a coaching program, but then there was an add-on for spiritual coaching.
Oh, wow.
And so I took that and I loved it, but I still didn't feel qualified to coach because I felt like everyone was saying, what's your niche? I didn't really have a specialty, the spirit within, you know, helping the spirit within to heal and that kind of thing. So I started doing self-guided meditations and then began studying hypnosis. I'd been to a couple of shows years ago, like in my 20s and 30s, and I loved it and I was fascinated by it. But I actually started studying in 2018 with the American Hypnosis Association. That it's primarily script-based. That's when I began recording guided meditations and clearing the mind, which in the Christian world they call renewing the mind. I am a Christian, but I don't discriminate. That we call inner wisdom or higher spirit or higher consciousness, or a Christian may call the Holy Spirit within us. To me, it's all the spirit. It's all the spirit within us.
So are you saying that it's the person that you're speaking to's interpretation of what that higher power is, yeah. Whatever it is to them?
Absolutely.
Because,
yeah, we're all on our own journey. And what I call it, you may call it something else. And you're right, and I'm right, because I'm right in my reality, and you're right in your reality. Unless someone specifically wants Christians centered under hypnosis, and in that case, it's all biblically based. Mm-hmm. So it's words that are spoken in scripture. So I will actually quote the promises in scripture. I mean, for a Christian or a believer, they want to believe these things. They want to have faith, you know,
right.
they want to be hopeful, but, and there's a but, because they're scared or they've been hurt before or this and that. So those are the things that we deal with, mm-hmm. while we solidify those promises that are made in the Bible.
For me, at least, it's a type of a mindfulness connected with the spirit when you're talking about spirituality and combining that with hypnosis. How do you do that? I mean, from what I'm hearing, you kind of do it through scriptures, but when people have a different type of religious background, do you still relate scriptures to what you're saying to the person? I know a lot of hypnotists take people on metaphoric journeys. Do you use Christian symbolism in those, or how does your religion feed into the hypnosis to make yours a little bit different?
Right. Well, I think this spiritual component is probably more in my practice than in the average hypnotist. With there being a higher consciousness, as we learned about what it's called in the Mike Mandel Hypnosis Academy, which we're both members of, or a Christian may call it the Holy Spirit within. If I'm talking to someone who is a Christian, and they've identified themselves that way, then I will open it up and I will steer it in that direction. Otherwise, it's non-denominational, because there's always a pre-talk as you get to know someone. But I do explain the different names for it that we might identify with. There's different ways to incorporate that. Well, I was doing the guided meditations before, but now with the hypnosis, I'm able to add these healing elements.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It's an agreement between the subject and the hypnotist. They close their eyes and relax, and you just take them on a guided journey. The subconscious speaks to us through symbols and pictures and images. That's why our dreams are all pictures. Sometimes they're colors, sometimes they're black and white. This all means different things to the subconscious or unconscious mind. While I lead them through a journey, they have their own experience. And each person will have their own experience, that when I mention an ocean, or if I mention a picture frame, the snapshot of their favorite memory in that picture frame, everyone is going to see what's in their own subconscious or unconscious mind. So they're all created in a way that allows the person to have their own unique experience. And at the same time, it uses proven hypnosis techniques for healing. I'm really excited about that.
And I have to say too, I got to experience it through you, and it was phenomenal, because I have a couple of books on dream interpretation. It was just kind of like, there's a mountain, and however I interpreted the mountain is whether it was tall and green, or short and snow covered, or however I interpreted it, was how it was in my mind. And then in the end, I could understand my own dreams, but it wasn't scary. It was just really bizarre. And when you don't know somebody, you know, you don't want to just open up and let everything out, but I found it very easy to open up to you. I was absolutely stricken with awe, because it's a very unusual way, and you're very, very skilled at that. So I just had to put that out there for you.
Thank you. What you had was a mindscape, and that is another of my favorite techniques. So we've got the guided journey, which can be done, like I have one coming up. It's the journey to self-love. It's all about self-acceptance and self-esteem, and hypnosis doesn't cure anything, but it can certainly help to break down a lot of these barriers that are holding us in, and it can help to alleviate a lot of these feelings. And then the mindscaping is another modality that I do, which the beautiful thing about mindscaping, and that's Mike Mendel's own protocol that he wrote, credit to him, and you can do it no content. Person doesn't even have to share what it's about. They pick a word, awareness, or they pick confidence, you know, healing. They know what it means, and it's whatever the healing that they're looking for that we work through. People can come in and not even tell me what the problem is, just give it a name, and we just work with that. And that's the incredible thing about the mindscape, and how it opens up so much. There's a third modality that I really enjoy doing, and that's working with ego states, an area where the higher spirit, wisdom, or whatever we want to call it, can come into play. Because when we think about the unconscious mind, okay, that's the part of our mind that wants to keep us alive. Mm-hmm. The conscious mind is the awareness, the awake part that we are, that we're trying to get through day to day. And the higher wisdom, or the spirit within, it has the best intention for us, you know, the fastest mile, or climb the highest mountain, or these people that have done these amazing feats, you know, triple backflips and things like that. And we go, wow, like, how can anyone do that? Well, anyone can do what they were created to do, way beyond what they even can think or imagine. And if you listen to any of these very successful entrepreneurs and whatnot, they all basically say the same thing. You have to believe in yourself and believe that you can do it, and just keep forging, and you're going to have mistakes and you're going to have pitfalls, but you keep going, going, going. When our ego mind is not in alignment with our higher power, and I'm saying to myself, I'm no good and I'm a failure in it, and there's a conflict between what the inner wisdom knows us to be and who we're saying we are.
Right.
Because anyone who's ever been in their sweet spot, who's ever like a race car driver driving that car, or a singer singing in a show, or a football player, you know, running with the ball, they know what it's like to be in this zone. And right. being in this zone is a lot like hypnosis. It's total focus. They just kind of lock out everything else. They're pumped with adrenaline and all these positive hormones flowing through our body, going through their body, and they're just loving what they're doing. And that's why they do it. And our ego mind is in line with our higher wisdom. That's the result of that, is that the love pours out and the happiness pours out and the passion pours out, because it's genuine and you feel more balanced. No one's perfect. We don't maintain it 100% of the time, but helping the ego states really helps pick out the voices in our head that tell us we're not good enough, comfort them and detach the emotion from them. Again, we're removing the emotion from the experience so that we can recount it, and it's not a big deal. It doesn't make us cry or break down. And at the same time, we can then align that higher wisdom. You know, that's when the magic happens. So those are my three favorite protocols, and they're all protocols that allow for that inner spirit to really come out. And
well, I'm really excited for you and for being able to utilize those three things together the way that you do. Is you can have 100 people that are all practicing some sort of mindfulness or hypnosis or meditation, different breathing methods, what have you, and everybody does their own thing and different combinations of it, and yours is just absolutely amazing. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Would you mind just telling once again what the name of your company is so people can look you up?
Absolutely. Thank you. And it's been wonderful to be here. Thank you so much, MJ, for having me. Anyone can reach me at zeldahypnosis.ca, and I have a calendar there. You can book private session. So I've started doing group sessions. Now the group sessions are done over like a Zoom platform, and they are recorded. So if you can't make the time allotted, sign up and then take it at your leisure. And then some spiritual coaching as well for those that want that ongoing support. There's usually a little bit of hypnosis in there as well.
Thank you so much. And this has been Waking Lions. I'm so glad that you guys were able to join us and you were able to listen to Sally, because she's an extraordinary person. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye now.
Thank you. Bye.